Well, on that topic of patent medicines, it appears more of us are waking up, as it were, to the real purpose of health care here in these United States and the healthcare industry, quote unquote. What's going to follow, folks, is an article written by Milton Packer, MD, published online April 18th. Hey, that's just a few days ago. Who's Milton Packer, MD? Well, he's not a natural medicine doctor, or health food nut. Milton Packer, MD, is primary consultant to the NIH and FDA, yeah, Los Federales, on the management of heart failure and on matters related to cardiovascular research and patent medicine development, as well as healthcare policy. Okay, here's the title of Milton Packer, MD's article. Exactly as it was published online. Quote, "It's official. Curing patients is bad for business." Yes, that was the title of the article. It's official. Curing patients is bad for business. If you have any doubt at all about this, just put Milton Packer, MD, and curing patients is bad for business into your computer search engine. You'll find it, as well as literally dozens of other online articles about the same thing. Now, here's the text of Dr. Packer's article, just as written. Back to our quotes. Pharmaceutical companies are developing new drugs in only two therapeutic areas these days, cancer and rare diseases. Why is that? These are the only therapeutic areas where exorbitant pricing is tolerated by payers. Now, I'm going to put in a remark here, just in case it's not clear. Payers means insurance companies and government, so-called health insurance. Back to Dr. Packer. How exorbitant are we talking about? Most new drugs for cancer and rare diseases are being priced at above $400,000 a year per patient. Yeah, I said that slowly on purpose. I'll even repeat it. Are being priced above $400,000 a year per patient. Dr. Packer continues, some drugs are being priced at $1 million per treatment, and prices continue to soar. Who loses from this pricing practice? You might think the patients with cancer or with those rare diseases are most likely to suffer, but that isn't true. To cover these exorbitant costs for even a small number of people, payers, and remember that's insurance companies and government health insurance, payers slash their expenditures in other therapeutic areas, and these cuts affect millions of people. For example, instead of agreeing to pay for the best treatment for diabetes for $1,500, payers approve the use of a second-rate treatment for $75. I'm going to temporarily stop quoting Dr. Packer and throw in here a remark, namely, that's why Tahoma Clinic does not take third-party payment. Because lots of times they approve second-rate treatments. That's only one reason. But just as Dr. Packer says, that's what they may do. Okay, back to Dr. Packer, what he actually wrote. Physicians are not good at challenging payers, so most patients will get the second-rate treatment. So the patients who lose the most are typically those who do not have cancer or rare diseases. Actually, nearly everyone loses when a company prices a novel drug at extreme levels. Last week, things took a turn for the worse. According to an article by Ty Kim on CNBC, Goldman Sachs issued a report written by Salveen Richter that suggested that drug developers might want to think twice about making drugs that were too effective. Richter's report, entitled The Genome Revolution, was issued on April 10th and says, the potential to deliver one-shot cures is one of the most attractive aspects of gene therapy, genetically engineered cell therapy, and gene editing. However, such treatments offer a very different outlook with regard to recurring revenue versus chronic therapies. While this proposition carries tremendous value for patients and society, imagine that. It could represent a challenge for genome medicine developers looking for sustained cash flow. Ah, sustained cash flow. Mm-hmm. The translation, and this translation is by Dr. Packer, not me, is, if you develop a new drug that cures people rapidly, then patients will not need to take the drug on any ongoing basis, and that limits the amount of money a company can make. The analyst asks, again, I'm still quoting Dr. Packer, is curing patients a sustainable business model? Now, I'm going to break in again. Folks, this is out in the open. Getting anyone cured is not a sustainable business model. And what is the healthcare industry interested in? Sustainable business models. Oh. Now, of course, this is still me. Of course, that's only if you cure them with patent medicine. If you cure them by natural means, it's a different story. Costs a lot less. Okay, now back to Dr. Packer. The problem, which he puts in quotes, quote, problem, unquote, appears to be particularly great if the disorder in question is a transmittable disease. The Goldman Sachs report, and remember, Goldman Sachs is that bank that got bailed out with $10 billion of yours and mine in 2008. Goldman Sachs report cites the example of Gilead Sciences, which gained approval for its novel hepatitis C treatment in called Sovaldi. Got to make up some weird name, don't you? That's me. In 2013, followed by Harvoni. Yep, another weird one. That's me again. Less than a year later, and I'm back into Dr. Packer here, their introduction was a landmark event for two reasons. First, they provided a near-certain cure for hepatitis C in 12 weeks. Fantastic. Second, they were among the first of a series of drugs to be priced at exorbitant levels. When Harvoni was introduced, a 12-week course in the United States cost $94,500. Still with Dr. Packer. Interestingly, in India, the same 12-week course of treatment cost only $900. Dr. Packer puts in parentheses, I assume the company was still making a profit on sales in India. Now, I'm going to put in, look at what profit they were making on sales in these United States at $94,500. Back to Dr. Packer. Was this outrageous pricing good enough for Goldman Sachs? Apparently not. In her report, Ms. Richter notes that U.S. sales for hepatitis C treatments peaked at $12.5 billion in 2015, but have been falling ever since. Goldman Sachs estimates the U.S. sales for these treatments will be less than $4 billion. How sad for the sustainable business model this year. Ms. Richter laments this development. She writes, this is a case in point where the success of hepatitis C franchise has gradually exhausted the available pool of treatable patients. Okay, I'm going to put mine in again. Isn't the goal of healthcare to cure disease? Yes. And if we do it by natural means, we can keep things going. Yes, we can. At a much more reasonable price. Okay, but back to Dr. Packer. In the case of infectious diseases such as hepatitis C, curing existing patients also decreases the number of carriers able to transmit the virus to new patients. And I'll put in parentheses of my own. Oh, isn't that the point of healthcare? Oops, I'm wrong. Okay, back to Dr. Packer. Gilead's rapid rise and fall of its hepatitis C franchise highlights one of the dynamics of an effective drug that permanently cures a disease, resulting in a gradual exhaustion of the pool of patients. The analyst wrote, diseases such as common carriers where the incident, common cancers, excuse me, where the incident pool remains stable are less risky for business. So will a company that wants to develop a real cure for an infectious disease have trouble getting financing? More Dr. Packer. Just imagine a company that has a new drug that can cure a disease in over 90% of patients with one dose. The imagined response from investors, that's great, but your drug is too effective. You won't be able to generate sustainable cash flow with this kind of a business plan. The obvious suggestion. Could you possibly make the drug a bit less effective? So that people would need to continue to take it on an ongoing basis so we'd be able to generate more money? The company says no. Well, here's the imagined response. Well, if you insist on making, this is all Dr. Packer. Well, if you insist on making a drug that cures with one dose, we recommend charging a king's ransom for it. Could we propose that you charge $1 million for a course of treatment? Do you think such a figure is exaggerated? More Dr. Packer, and yes, I'm going a bit long here, folks, I'm sorry. Early these years, Sparks Therapeutics introduced its new drug. It's called Luxturna. You can always tell it's patent medicine when they put a name on it like that. For a rare form of blindness, it promises a cure with a single dose. The price tag is, hold on to your chairs, folks. That was me talking. And here back to Dr. Packer. The price tag is $425,000 per eye. That means $850,000 for a cure. And it gets worse. In 2012, a company called Unicure NV marketed Glybera, otherwise known as Tipararvovac, I'm not kidding, for the treatment of a lipoprotein lipase deficiency at a price of $1.6 million per treatment. After one patient in the entire world was treated, no one seemed excited about prescribing the overpriced drug, and the company did not renew its marketing license. Still more Dr. Packer. What do these examples teach us? We have not reached the limits of scientific innovation, but we have reached the limits of common sense and common decency. That's Dr. Packer. When the most important investment banking enterprise in the world wonders whether it's a good idea to support companies that want to develop cures, we have truly reached rock bottom. What is next for healthcare? We always knew that prolonging life was expensive. Now it seems that curing people isn't profitable enough. Still, Dr. Packer. Want to make money? Develop drugs that cure nothing, but yet promote long-term use and dependency and shorten life. Bankers and payers will love it. Still, Dr. Packer. Oops, I forgot. We have these drugs already. They're called opiates. Yep. Folks, isn't it time to put an end to the overall, this is my remark, isn't it time to put an end to the dependence on entirely patent medicines by Los Federales? Well, thanks to Dr. Packer and Salveen Richter's report for Goldman Sachs, it should be called Goldman Sachs, shouldn't it? A bank which Congress gave $10 billion of your dollars and mine in the 2008 bank bailout. It should now be obvious to all of us. Aided by Los Federales, the healthcare industry puts profit first and curing sick human beings in a distant second place. It's no wonder the attacks on safe, effective, all-natural treatments, many of which are actually cures, are so ferocious. Natural medicine threatens patent medicine company profits. We can't have that, can we? Folks, if you want to read up about this, remember, just put Milton Pachter, M.D., and the title of his article, It's Official, Curing Patients is Bad for Business, into your search engine. You'll find it. You'll also find literally dozens of other articles on this same topic. The entire problem with our current healthcare system, so-called, is, as Dr. Packer says, it's all for money, curing people comes last, and to keep it that way, we have to have the patent system, and we have to wipe out natural medicine. Yeah, I know I'm doing a bit of ranting and raving, but I'm happy to see that a very prominent expert physician has recognized this also. Isn't it time, folks, that if Los Federales want to continue the patent medicine system, that they do that, but leave the natural medicine folks alone instead of telling them everything has to be approved by King George III in order to do it? It's about time. We can have two tracks, and we'll see which one of them works better and less expensively because, of course, well, let's say just take that example of niacinamide completely controlling osteoarthritis for as long as you want in the large majority of cases and costing you less than $200 a year. How does that compare to either the patent medicines or joint replacement surgery in expense? Not just effectiveness, but expense. Expense is a heck of a lot less. Effectiveness is very good. We at least, at the very least, if we've got to continue with patent medicines and poisoning people with them, we need to have a two-track system. The one that FDA and the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry wants to go down. Of all patent medicines and high prices. Or we need to go to the other track, natural medicine and considerably lower prices. Okay, enough of that. Back to Green Medicine Radio. After the rest of these announcements, we'll take your calls. And just before I forget, folks, thanks so much to Tama Clinic nutritionist Tawny Pendleton, who first called this article by Dr. Milton Packer, entitled, "It's Official, Curing Patients is Bad for Business," who first called this article to the attention of all the Tama Clinic doctors at our weekly doctors and others meeting.